Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Rays Red Sox tonight, your Discover Card Key matchup. They match all the cash back you earn on your credit card into the first year automatically. Go to discover.com/yes. Bill Romanowski was one of the more intimidating NFL players in his era. 16 years in the league, multiple Pro Bowls, in 5 Super Bowls, part of 4 winning teams. Also, Nutrition53.com. He's got all of his protein stuff on there, which I use regularly, Nutrition53.com. And Romo is now joining us live, 4-time champ. You know, it's interesting. I was saying earlier today, Bill, I think the Raiders moving to Vegas, it's good for the league. I think Vegas has a personality. Gruden has a personality. You know, there's a lot of teams and markets, Jacksonville, you know, Detroit, that just kind of swim in there and nothing. And Vegas feels big and Gruden feels big. But I've got my doubts. They have reached on a lot of draft picks. I don't know where they're at today outside of Derek Carr and Waller, the tight end. There's a lot of question marks to me. You know the organization well. If I said to you, what is their plan? What is their vision? What are the Raiders built? Because I think it all starts with that, whether it's a business or a football team. Where are you going? What are you definitively? What are the Raiders today, Bill?
What are the Raiders? They've got a offensive-minded head coach that wants to focus on offense and make brilliant play calls, and they ignored the defense for the last 3 years. And it showed the record. It showed, hey, that they did not do a good job drafting. And their best player, I'll give them this, is Darren Waller.
Yeah.
Darren Waller is one of the best players in the National Football League. Derek Carr needs to have a breakout year and prove that he can lift the talent around him. And I think they're getting better on defense. You know, I was there for an alumni weekend a few weeks ago, and we watched practice, and they are getting better. Ruggs is going to be a better player this year. I think he's going to shock a lot of people this season. And if he has a breakout year, I think that's going to make a difference for the Raiders.
Sticking with the Bay Area, you know the Niners well. Obviously, you played for the 49ers for years, and you followed them. The question is Garoppolo and Trey Lance. And I've said this, at this point, I just can't trust Jimmy G's health. And you played in the NFL for years. Some guys, they're just brittle. They just are. It's just the way it is. Well, give me your kind of prediction on the growth of Trey Lance, what you think we'll see going forward. Trading deadline, maybe they move Garoppolo if they like Lance. I'm guessing. But what is your gut feeling on what we see with their quarterback situation?
You know what? You know, I was thinking that they were going to deal Jimmy sooner. But if he comes out with that competition and shows he can stay healthy, he may end up being the starter for the entire year this year,
yeah,
which is something I didn't think he would be there at the start of the season. And he's proven in the preseason he stayed healthy and he looked really good. Trey Lance has also looked really good. So when you pull that trigger, hey, I'm not at practice every day. I don't see what the coaches see every single day. Trey Lance clearly is the future. It just is, when are we going to get it? Are we going to get it sometime this season, or are they going to wait till next year to pull, you know, to get rid of Garoppolo?
You know, it's interesting. Phillip Rivers had such a solid year last year, proving that athleticism at quarterback can be at times overstated. If you've got protection in a running game, Tom Brady. You start looking at the last 5 Super Bowls, the quarterbacks have been Foles and Goff and Matt Ryan and Garoppolo and Brady, a lot of guys that don't move particularly well. When you were a linebacker, we've always known you can run around all you want, but the job of the quarterback is to get you in and out of trouble at the line and to distribute the football. and I try to tell this to people sometimes, so much of what Brady does, you can't see. You can't hear because you're not there. Take me to your career. And a quarterback or two that was older, but could literally manipulate the line of scrimmage and manipulate even Bill Romanowski, because I think some of Brady's greatness, fans struggle with this. We can't see it. We can't hear it. We're not at the line. And take my audience to what that looks like when you are facing these older quarterbacks.
You talked about mobile quarterbacks, and there's really only one that stood out, maybe two when you look at Warren Moon, Randall Cunningham. And those were, the only guys that I really had. The next guy who I felt like really did a great job at the line of scrimmage, because we used to mess with him, was Rich Gannon.
Yeah.
But Rich Gannon was big in the pocket, and he was hard to bring down, but he was the guy that I really look at and say, you know what? I take that back. John Elway, whenever I played Denver, and then I got to be his teammate, but he was a guy that definitely, changed the game at the line of scrimmage. And then I had to go up again. I was Steve Young's teammate. But Steve Young changed the game at the line of scrimmage because he was that bright and he knew what the defense was and what we were, whether we were in man or whether we were in zone. And now it's up to the defense to make the play or the offense to make the play. It's the athlete that has to step up and get it done.
Yeah. When you, we were just talking about salary caps and how, the higher percentage cap hit the quarterback is, believe it or not, is really the determining factor over the last decade whether you get to the Super Bowl. If you're a bigger than a 12% cap hit, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. It's just the way it works. And you start looking around this league, and there's a handful of really good players I would pay for at quarterback. Mahomes, Josh Allen. They're just certain guys. I'm going to pay them. Russell Wilson, I'm just going to pay the money for. By and large, though, I'll give you a great example. Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, maybe a Baker Mayfield, clearly capable. By and large, how many quarterbacks, when you look around this league, would you really pay the big money for? Do you think it's now an overpaid position because it's been glamorized, it's been romanticized? Or do you buy that this league is largely, there's half the league you would pay a quarterback? Or do you think we've reached a point where the quarterbacks now make more than they're worth?
I think there's a bunch that make more than they're worth, but it's the most important position, Colin. And I know we talk about it all the time. Without a great – yeah, there's been a handful of guys – that are handful of teams you can count on one hand or less that have won the Super Bowl with an average quarterback. It doesn't happen very often, and it's been a long time. And I'd probably go back to, you could say the Ravens in 15. You could say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back before that. Other than that, you're going to see just great quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl. So to me, I don't think it's an overpaid position. I think you got to pay for that position and you got to have the best. And when you overpay for a guy that doesn't deliver, you just set your team back, organization back, 3 to 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, Minnesota's dealing with a little bit of that right now. By the way, injuries well. Dak had a shoulder issue in camp. They brought on baseball trainers. Most NFL players I've known on the defensive side have all bad shoulders when they get out of the sport. It's just you guys get your shoulders are beat up, the leverage you play with, the speed. Take me to what Dak is dealing with, because I'm sure you've had a shoulder injury or two in your career. Do you worry at all with an added game to the schedule? I mean, we saw in camp, he wasn't throwing the ball down the field. We saw it. Can you get over that over the course of a season?
You know what? You can get over it if you have the right people working on you. And I know this, Dak Prescott does not have who Bill Romanowski had when I played in the NFL. He does not have a Mark Lindsay who now takes care of Christian McCaffrey full time, day in and day out. He doesn't have a Craig Bueller, that Dr. Craig Bueller, that took care of me when I played. And if he did, his shoulder wouldn't be an issue. But the NFL still does not know how to take care of injuries with high-level therapists. That is going to be the new frontier in the NFL that will happen over the next, 10 years. They're going to have like guys like Tom Brady has worked with to take care of his body, to keep him loose and flexible and elastic and healthy at an older age. And, Dak just doesn't have the right people taking care of him.
That's interesting you mentioned Brady. How much of his game now is Alex Guerrero? I mean, you obviously respect what Brady's done. When you got older, was strength less important? Was pliability more important your last two or three years in the league?
At the end of the day, for me, Colin, it really came down to speed. I was strong enough to play in the NFL. I needed to stay fast, and that's why I lived on the track 5 to 6 days a week during the off season, and everything was speed, and that wasn't an issue for me. And what knocked me out, as we have talked about before, is concussions. So with Brady, hey, Brady is elastic. His knees have been in good shape, other than, he had an issue this offseason that he got taken care of. And for him, it's all about his offensive line taking care of him. Anyone that says, age has affected his arm, that is bull, because his arm looked amazing last year. He's still elastic. All they have to do is block for him, and he'll be able to make the throws because he's got one of the best receiving corps in the NFL.
Bill Romanowski, Nutrition53.com. Billy, good talking to you. In the break, by the way, Bill was talking about Europe. Bill and I talk Europe. Bill went to Europe with his beautiful wife, Julie. He walked 8 miles a day. You, my friend, are committed to excellence. I don't know if the Raiders
You're
are.
You're going to do the same, Colin. Trust me, you'll do the same.
Good seeing you. Say hi to Jules for me.
Okay, take care.
All right, good stuff.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Yeah, you walk a lot in Europe.
Well, I mean, they're ahead of us in a lot of transportation. Their train system's insane.
The train system is great, but it's not a place for heels. Like, you wear sneakers.
Well, they got a lot of cobblestones. Yeah. It's an old country.
Yeah, you don't want to twist an ankle. I actually broke. I was wearing sandals, and I broke my sandal the first day in Rome. 2 hours into walking.
How long were you there? For 10 days?
I was there for a week. I was there for 8 days.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing.
Your food pictures were ridiculous.
Well, we didn't mention when we were talking in the break, we were talking about the food, because you eat a lot of pasta and you eat a lot of pizza, and you would think, you're going to gain a bunch of weight. You walk a lot, for one. But two, the food isn't loaded with preservatives and been in the freezer for 3 weeks and they're eating it up. It's fresh. So it's amazing. You're going to be ruined for tomatoes are over for you. You're never going to look at a tomato the same way.
Really?
They're so good.
I bet.
I could eat a tomato right off the vine.
It's funny. Going to Italy, I don't care about the wine. That's not the thing for me. It's the food.
Well, the wine is very inexpensive.
I just want to eat. I don't care about the wine. I can get a...
I care a little bit about the wine. A little bit. So John Gruden is heading into his fourth season since returning to the Raiders. They've yet to reach the playoffs with him as head coach, but he doesn't feel like he's on the hot seat this year. He said, "I don't really feel pressure. Mark Davis is going to let me know if it's good enough or not, and I know what's good and what isn't. I'm 58 years old now, and I'm not working any less than I did when I was 38, so I'm doing the best I can. I'm proud of the results we've gotten, but also realistic. I know what's at stake. but I'm not going to worry about it.
Well, he got a big contract, so he doesn't have to worry about it. It's legacy now.
He doesn't have to worry about it. I don't think he takes his job any less seriously because he has a long contract.
Let me ask you this. Let's say it doesn't work. So what is his legacy? It's fascinating. Like, I'm not sure he cares about it, but I'm saying, how will we look at Gruden if this doesn't work? So he had success initially in Tampa, and then it didn't work. He had some brief success in Oakland. Hugely popular. I mean, he's very good on TV. He's as talented as anybody that's ever coached football on camera. I didn't work with him directly, but I always thought John was way underrated on television. The critics are lost. He was great. The minute he's on, he stole the tube. He was great, like a great actor. But and the Tampa wasn't great, and this isn't great.
I always like to ask this question whenever there's a new job or a new project or something that I'm involved in. What is the measure of success for this? If it's something new,
can he make? Let's say he leaves after 7-8 years.
Okay.
He retires after 8, and they have made the playoffs twice, and they're at least viable. Like, then I think to myself, that was fine. I don't need Super Bowls from John.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking. Like, they do need to be making the playoffs. I think that's. He
took over a mess. It's a rebuild.
Right. Well, they were 4-12 when he took over in 2018. Then they were 7-9.
Yeah.
And last year they were 8-8. So they are getting better.
That's right.
Now, I do think the criticisms are fair. The drafts have not been great. They just let go of Tanner Muse. And two third rounders have not ever played a snap for the Raiders. So they haven't done an amazing job of the draft, but they might need a little more time to develop the guys that they do have, but they have missed the playoffs all three seasons. The other thing to consider is the division that they're in. Now, these are not excuses. Like, I think the measure of success is you should be winning your division or making the playoffs. Otherwise, you had a disappointing season. But they are getting better year by year. Maybe this is a longer buildup than we are used to dealing with these days.
It just doesn't feel great so far. I know everybody keeps telling me they're getting better. It doesn't feel great. It feels way worse than the records. It feels a little lost.
But are we a product of the microwave society, turn it around right now, and because it's John Gruden, and because now they're in Las Vegas?
Well, if they go 9-8, then I should shut up. I guess that's the way to say it.
If they're getting better every year.
Then I got nothing to say. If they go 9-8, then I'll stop talking about them. Or at least stop criticizing them. That's fair, because they've gotten better each year. It's a slow rebuild.
That's what I'm saying. So maybe our timeline and expectations based off of the celebrity and the standards that we expect from John Gruden.
Totally fair.
And who is responsible for expectations? Are we responsible, or are the people that we project these expectations onto responsible? They're getting better every year, so I guess this is a year. I do think this year, though, is a year they should take a significant step up.
It's been a little sloppy.
Like, you've had 3 years, so you should...
Could we get pass rush? Could you have a pass rush? When you're in a division with Mahomes and Justin Herbert, here's one thing you got to get right. A pass rush.
Do you think if they don't make the playoffs this year, obviously John Gruden's not going anywhere. Do you think that Mayock will be done there?
Yep. I think he'll be done. I think it won't be... John won't be the one to fall initially. Mayock will be done. He'll go back to TV and do a fine job, and then Gruden will get... I think Davis will put the heat on him, and then he'll hire another GM, and they'll give John 2 more years. So John's through 3. Mayock fired if they lose this year. John gets 2 more, and that'll be year 6. He'll get 6 years of the 10.
If they're not making the playoffs by six.
By the end of 6, I think John's
I think that's fair for any coach.
He's through 3. If this year stinks, Mayock whacked. He'll get 2 years with a new GM.
So Dak Prescott kicks off his 2020 season when the Cowboys travel to Tampa to play the Bucs on Thursday. It's so close, you can smell it.
Smell it.
You can smell the grass and the dirt. Well, he was putting up big numbers in 2020 before he got injured, and he is expecting to get off to an even better start this time around. He said, I have high expectations for myself. I don't necessarily want the numbers that I had early because we weren't winning games and we weren't being competitive early, and that's why some of those numbers came about. I plan to come out better than I was last year, and that's just the work that I've put in going all the way back to February when I got back on the field. I am excited for it.
Well, passer rating, if he can get to mid-90s, 30 TDs, 12 picks, and they can win 9 games, good year.
That's what he did in 2019. He had 65% completion percentage, almost 5,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions.
I think that's what he is. Now, I will say this. Some of that was against bad teams. I think the Giants are better defensively. The difference is Washington and the Giants, You're not dropping 35 on those teams. So I think his numbers will come down, but I don't think it's a product of him being worse. I think the division is, I actually think the division defensively is interesting.
Yeah.
I think offensively.
I mean, Washington is not.
It's a lot of nonsense. But defensively, yeah, Washington and the Giants defensively, you're not going to drop 30 on those. So Dak's numbers don't worry me. If he goes 9-8, mid-90s passer rating, he's back.
I do think in this game, though, it will be interesting because he's coming off of the shoulder strain. They don't have Zach Martin. You know what those numbers are without Zach Martin.
Yeah, they're not winning Thursday.
They're going to want to rely on Zeke more. It's going to be an uphill battle on Thursday.
Yes.
But moving through forward to the season, we know what they're capable of. And yeah. Speaking of that, the Bucs defense will have their hands full with that receiving core. Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Bruce Arians knows that the receiving core will be tough to stop.
I mean, they're loaded, and they all do different things. And I mean, that I think that threesome might be the best. I'll argue that ours might be too, but no, it's a hell of a challenge when you have that many guys.
Well, the Bucs have the number one ranked pass catching unit going into this season, according to Pro Football Focus, with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson, and Jalen Darden, plus Gronk, Cameron Brayton. Yeah. Jay Howard. It's just kind of funny reading that considering what Tom Brady was dealing with in New England. But the Cowboys are the second-ranked pass-catching unit, to Bruce's point, with Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, Cedric Wilson, and Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz. And the Bucs are the 21st-ranked pass defense last season. So Foxbet has the line at -8.
Yep.
That's... The only reason I would consider it is because of the Zach Martin situation and because Dak is coming off his shoulder strain. They probably want to limit how much he's throwing, but are they going to be able to rely on the run game in that situation? All I know is I'm really excited for football, and it's so close.
Same here. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Cousin Sal, best NFL bets of the year next. Endless hot water, Navien is the place to go. 15-year warranty. TanklessMadeSymbol.com. TanklessMadeSymbol.com. Navien, Cousin Sal around the corner.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The NFL regular season starts Thursday, and Terry Bradshaw is giving away $1 million on the Fox Bet Super 6 app. Scan the code below, download the app for free, and predict the outcome of 6 NFL games for your shot to win Terry's money.
All right, Cousin Sal, co-host of Fox Bet Live, I consider you...
Yes.
I consider you a professional gambler. Are you comfortable with me calling you that?
Yeah, that's fine. Then what should I call you? I'm going to call you Rosemary. Is that okay?
Is that okay? It's new. Let's try it.
I'm excited. I chugged a vat of mayonnaise. I'm ready. We're 2 days away.
It's fun.
This is the best.
Okay, listen, so I am not a professional gambler, and I want accreditation to be a sharp. It'll probably take a couple more years, but I think I'm getting sharper hanging around people like you. And so I like to bring you on, and you take me kind of a new level.
He's using me. I knew it.
Okay. No,
all right,
I'm
let's
not.
Hear. Yeah.
Okay, so let's just start with, this is always fun. Everybody's got a team, mine's Washington, that I like more than the gambling community and the bettors. I like Washington. And who is your team?
We're going to talk about the Falcons, I think. But I like the Oakland Raiders. I like three teams coming out of each West, AFC West and NFC West.
Wow.
I think it's time. First of all, I'm excited to see what kind of fan base they have. Is it going to be everyone goes on their bachelor party? This is the Baltimore guys get together. This is the weekend. Or is it the black hole? Like, I think they fill that place. They have a nice contingency and they win these games. They've lost all these close games.
Yes.
We're 5-2 to start. Gruden's got to step it up. The offense is there. Waller is an elite player. I think they win and they make the playoffs. That's my go. You say Washington.
Well, I told Joy this. It's the best four first rounders on the front line. And if you start looking at the best defensive and offensive lines in the league, historically, they're playoff teams. And it's a weaker division. And do I worry about Ryan Fitzpatrick? Of course I do. But there's something called a trading deadline. I don't think they're out of the running. Let me throw another team at you because I love Sam Darnold.
Go ahead.
What do you make of Carolina? They lost more one-possession games than almost any team in the league. You know how it works.
Right.
That always flips.
Yep.
One of the reasons you like the Raiders. Losing all the way. What do you make of Carolina?
I like them. I'm a Sam Darnold guy, okay? And I think you don't have a better – you have a healthy McCaffrey. There's no better outlet, right? So you're not going to ask him to throw downfield 15, 20 times a game like you did with the Jets when they were playing catch-up. Now, Atlanta's my surprise team in that division. Otherwise, I would go Carolina. But I don't think you're in bad shape there. You got 2,000-yard receivers there offensively. Defensively, they keep you in games. I just worry, though, Colin. You pick teams like Washington and Carolina, and people take these clips online, and it's like bad takes exposed. You could take it back right now. You don't have to. Joy's rolling her eyes already at the Washington team.
If
who's
bad,
2-8 without Alex Smith. But go ahead. Let's hear it.
If bad takes ruin the career, I'd still be in Sheboygan. Because that's I've had more than anybody.
That goes on the headstone.
All right.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah. I said this, that if you go back and look at how Belichick embraced the COVID year. Mm-hmm. He thought it was a joke. He opted out. The players opted out. I just take last year away. And he owns young quarterbacks. The division is now Zach Wilson, Tua, and pretty young Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots are a playoff team. Do you?
I do, and I did a month ago, and then all our Patriot friends, you know, they're the worst in the world, our friends that root for New England or the Red Sox or whatever. So
obnoxious.
Now they're all over Mac Jones, and he's going to Canton and all that. But Mac Jones aside, I like this as a playoff team. I think you're right. I think Belichick, I believe in him at 16-1 to win Coach of the Year. Now, this is an award he hasn't won in a decade.
So he's plus 1,600.
Plus 1,600 to win Coach of the Year. And I think the old man, like you said last year, whatever, let's see if we can win. I'll hand it to Tom Brady. I'll win with nothing. He's done with that. He's taken a look. He's like, I have leaving my inheritance. I'm looking. I have sons who are meth dealers, and they don't call me on my birthday. Forget it. I'm going all out here. Spend $288 million in free agency. We pick up the quarterback. They already have a good defense. I think that's an 11-win team, and that's enough to get him Coach of the Year.
How about that, Joy? That's what I've been saying. An 11-12-win team. What's the best bet? Doesn't mean they'll win the Super Bowl, but the best bet, Cousin Sal believes, to win the Super Bowl.
I know you did like 6.5 hours this morning on the Rams.
Yeah.
But I really do like them. And I know they're in that tough
division.
What
are they, 14-1?
They're 14-1, 6-1 to win the NFC. That's three teams in the West that over under is 10 or 10 and a half wins. That's unheard of. You don't see that. Maybe last year it was close with that same division, but I really love their defense. I wasn't all about Stafford, but if you look at it, he had that 1 year with Detroit where they had a top 10 defense and he won 11 games.
Yeah, that
and
was.
He's going to get that. That defense doesn't allow 13 points midway through the fourth quarter, and Stafford's going to have put up like 30, 35. Don't forget, Goff, the most turnovers by far over the last 3 years. He just has to not do that, and McVay's in love with him, and I love that Rams team.
Okay, everybody has a team you can't bet because you can't beat them. I haven't won an Atlanta Falcons bet in 38 years, but you like Matt Ryan this year. What's the bet?
11-1, most passing yards. Now, don't forget, this doesn't have to be on a team that's a good team, right? You could play a lot of garbage time.
Oh, yeah.
And get up there. He's got 10 years with 4,000 or more passing yards, right? He's always around 46, 47. He had a 4,900 year.
Calvin Ridley is becoming a top five receiver.
Ridley, great. I think Gage could put up equal numbers as Julio Jones and then Pitts. I mean, they had red zone woes. That was their problem. There you go. It's solved with Kyle Pitts. 11-1, I think, is a good number.
That is interesting because if you go back to last year, and I think that Arthur Smith
offense
changed Ryan Tannehill's trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Now Matt Ryan's always been as good as his O-line and his coordinator.
Yeah.
So Arthur Smith can elevate him. What team are you going to stay away from, Cousin Sal, early on?
Oh, I might even say my own Cowboys. You know, I like them to win the division, but I hate betting. You know, Little Wayne came to my house and we traded high tops and talked about the Cowboys. Oh, that's a different host. I'm getting confused here. No, the Cowboys are in trouble this Thursday night against Tampa. I think they're in trouble in the trenches. You know, Zach Martin out. But as far as I'm concerned, it's a freebie. That used to be for Cowboys fans. You have to go to MetLife where you play that game Sunday night against the Giants and you don't want to go 0-1 in division. It's okay. They'll lose to Tampa. They're now 8-point underdog. Fine, let them lose. They carry on from them. So early on, I would say stay away from them. But later on, pick them up in the mid-year.
And by the way, a team I'm interested, Cleveland, Trent Dilfer has said this, pro athletes all deal with failure the same way. They work harder. Mm. They deal with success differently. Yeah. A lot of guys can't handle success. How do you think Baker and the Browns handle expectations? They are largely considered second or third best roster in the league, playoff team. How's it roll to you?
I do like them, and it's weird because you're going to get crapped on because Baker is going to eventually take this team far, but he doesn't have to do much.
Not a ton.
No one's got it better than Baker Mayfield right now with the defensive parts they added, with Clowney, they're good. Ward, and now, you know, running back, like, just hand off and you'll be fine. What does his stats have to look like? Like 22 and 13, and he could take them to a championship game?
He was a mid-90 passer rating quarterback. And I think as long as Myles Garrett stays healthy and the secondary comes together, it's an 11 to 12 win team. He's not going to be, again, when you have the best offensive line and a top back, you can go 6 years back in the NFL. You win somewhere between 11 and 13 games.
Yeah.
So like you're a professional sports gambler. By the way, mdriveformen.com, 20% off. The code is heard. Don't let age beat you. It's not beating us. A professional gambler. Just give me, I've got 20 seconds.
Yeah.
One line for an amateur bettor that's betting for the first time ever this year.
For this week?
No, for the year. Give him advice.
Oh, don't listen to everyone who says bet within your means. Go crazy. We only live once. Extrapoints.com, all your sports gambling needs. I know you have podcasts, but I think you make people pay for them. It's different. But,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Just don't live within your means.
No,
it's nonsense.
No. Exactly.
Cousin Sal, we'll see you tomorrow.